Dear people, go in peace, lift up your hearts, and receive the blessing of our Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keeps the truth forever, who does not forsake the works of his hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Let's continue by singing Psalter 39. All stanzas. Psalter 39, all stanzas. After the confession of faith, we will sing Psalm 428, verse 5. 428, verse 5. After we have confessed with our hearts and minds our Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed and also with the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 41, questions and answers 108 and 109 as follows.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe one holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Question 108. What doth the seventh commandment teach us? Answer, that all uncleanness is accursed of God, and that therefore we must with all our hearts detest the same, and live chastely and temperately, whether in holy wedlock or in single life. Question 109. Doth God forbid in this commandment only adultery and such like gross sins? Answer, since both our body and soul are temples of the Holy Ghost, he commands us to preserve them pure and holy. Therefore, he forbids all unchaste actions, gestures, words, thoughts, desires, and whatever can entice men thereto.
Congregation, we will open the scriptures this afternoon, first in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 19, the verses 1 till 12. Matthew 19, the verses 1 till 12. And the second scripture reading you can find in the Old Testament, in the book Deuteronomy chapter 22, the the verses 22 till 30. Deuteronomy 22, verse 22 till 30. But first, Matthew 19, 1 till 12, as follows.
And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coasts of Judea beyond Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. They say unto him, Why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement, and to put her away? He said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. His disciples say unto him, If the case of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry. But he said unto them, All men cannot receive this saying, save they to whom it is given. For there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb, and there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men, and there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. Deuteronomy 22, starting at verse 22. If a man be found lying with a woman married to an husband, then they shall both of them die, both the man that lie with the woman and the woman, so shalt thou put away evil from Israel. If a damsel that is a virgin be betrothed unto an husband, and a man find her in the city and lie with her, then ye shall bring them both out unto the gate of that city, and ye shall stone them with stones that they die. The damsel because she cried not, being in the city, and the man because he hath humbled his neighbor's wife, so thou shalt put away evil from among you. But if a man find a betrothed damsel in the field, and the man force her and lie with her, then the man only that lay with her shall die. But unto the damsel thou shalt do nothing. There is in the damsel no sin worthy of death. For as when a man riseth against his neighbor and slayeth him, even so is this matter. For he found her in the field, and the betrothed damsel cried, and there was none to save her. If a man find a damsel that is a virgin, which is not betrothed, and lay hold on her and lie with her, and they be found, then the man that lay with her shall give unto the damsel's father 50 shekels of silver, and she shall be his wife. Because he hath humbled her, he may not put her away all his days. A man shall not take his father's wife, nor discover his father's skirt.
Let us seek the Lord's face in prayer. So we come to Thee again for the second time on the Sabbath day, O Lord. Before Thy throne, into Thy presence, in a worship service, to worship Thee, being our God, being our Savior. O Thou hast revealed Thyself, first of all in creation, like we also can see in this springtime. Thou hast revealed Thyself in Thy Word, in the Scriptures, like we have heard this morning. But in particular, Thou hast revealed Thyself in Thy Son. Oh, what a wonderful reality. God of gods, who art a eternal spirit, who art infinite, and we are human. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, Thou hast revealed who Thou art and what's in Thy heart. And Lord, also in this afternoon, when we have to deal with a difficult topic, again about married life and divorce, and we only can listen to the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that it might be also in our hearts, that prayer which we sung already, "Oh, teach me, Lord, the way that I should go. Give understanding all Thy paths to know. Instruct me in Thy perfect will." Lord, and that's what we need when it comes to these tender matters. And then we pray for our marriages, Lord. We are thankful for all the blessings Thou hast bestowed upon us, also in marriage life and in family life. And we pray, bless us each and every day again. For we are surrounded by dangers from outside and inside. And again, Lord, we pray for these marriages which are difficult. Lord, remember us in all the questions we can have, in all the needs we have. And remember us and help us to be faithful in the calling Thou hast called with. And also the teaching and the instruction out of the Scriptures might be for the well-being of Thy church. Lord, be with us. Remember our youth. Lord, when they a longing to find a girlfriend or boyfriend, or when they already are dating, Lord, Thou knowest all what's going on in their hearts and lives. But give that attitude in their hearts to be willing to follow Thee and to live according to Thy will, like Thou hast revealed in the Scriptures. Lord, we pray, remember the whole congregation. We pray again, Lord, for widows and widowers. Thou knowest how they can struggle with being alone. O Lord, filled with feelings with feelings of homesick. Oh Lord, help and strengthen them and be with them. Lord, when we are single and we are going through life lonely, even because of divorce, remember us and help and strengthen us. Lord, we pray for the whole congregation. help us in this afternoon to understand the meaning of the scriptures. Lord, we pray for thy church, not only here, but also in our community. Remember the congregations, thy servants. O Lord, fill them with thy spirit and use them as means into thy hands for the glory of thy name and the well-being of thy church. O grant a revival among us. That thee, O Lord Jesus Christ, will get the highest place in our hearts and lives. We pray for thy church worldwide, in particular for those who were persecuted, Lord. Strengthen them and be with them. We pray for the work of evangelists and missionaries. Bless their labors. May we pray for the mission of our church. Several projects. Remember the people. Be with them and bless them. Remember thy people Israel. In the midst of all the challenges they are facing, that it might bring them, Lord, before thee, acknowledging to have no power in themselves. How easily we can put our trust in man and in the force of human beings. But lo, open their eyes to understand the word of the apostle. When I am weak, then I am powerful. Weaken ourselves and strengthen them powerful in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, remember our governments. Bring them the true wisdom, which only will be found in the fear of the Lord, in a life according to thy will, to the scriptures. Oh, we pray, touch their hearts, open their eyes, through the mighty work of thy Holy Spirit, Lord. And so we ask all these things not because of any worthiness in ourselves, but only for thy name's sake we pray. Amen. Let's sing together from Psalter 40. All the stanzas 1 till 4. Psalter 40, first we sung about from 39 about the creation, and in verse 40 about God's word. Psalter 40, stanzas 1 till 4, and in between there will be the collections, and may God bless you and your gifts. congregation, we have already spoken about marriage life two times. We have seen the creation order from Genesis, and we also have seen the meaning, the New Testament meaning of Christian marriage life, where Paul is using and going back to that same text. And also today, we go back to the same text, that a man shall leave his parents and cleave his wife, and those two will be one flesh. And that text you can find in the portion we read from Matthew. Matthew chapter 19. There the Lord Jesus goes back to the same chapter, to the same text, in a different context. And I would like to dwell upon this portion, Matthew 19, the verses we read, 1 till 12. And that speaks about Jesus' explanation about marriage and divorce. Jesus' explanation about marriage and divorce. And we will see three different aspects which we can find in this portion. First, Jesus' absolute no. Secondly, Jesus' conditional no. And thirdly, Jesus explained no. Jesus' absolute no. When he said, when he answered the Pharisees that what God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Absolute no. Secondly, Jesus' conditional no. We can find in verse 9, and I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication. That's the exemption. Jesus' conditional no. And thirdly, Jesus explained no. And that's what you can find in the verses 10 till 12. Jesus' explanation about marriage and divorce. Jesus' absolute no, conditional no, explained no. Congregation, in this portion, chapter 19, the Lord Jesus, like we read in verse 1, that Jesus had finished the sayings, he had finished his presence and work in Galilee, and was moving now to the area of Judea. But the Pharisees would try to block that movement. And they come to the Lord Jesus. And the text, it says very clear, verse 3, to tempt him, tempting him. So they came not with a fair reason, but they had a specific purpose, a specific goal, to make Jesus suspicious by the people. And how do you do that? They were asking the Lord Jesus a question. And they ask him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Actually, it is a remarkable question, because they already knew the answer. In chapter 5, verse 31, Jesus had already given his answer. He says, it hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. So they were actually asking a question on which they already know what would be Jesus' answer. But they add some words in it. They said, "Is it lawful a man to put away his wife for every cause?" It was allowed under the Jewish law to put away your wife. And this is what they said, but is it allowed for every cause? There was a variety in legal reasons, and there was among the Jewish people a discussion about how precise they had to be taken seriously. And there was unity about permission of divorcement based on the agreed legal reasons. And so that was the situation among the Jewish people in that time. And that's why they will later bring up the writing of divorcement. But they asked them, "Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause?" And congregation, then, it is very remarkable. They actually expected that Jesus couldn't answer a satisfying answer. But Jesus found, let me say, a third possibility. He did not say yes. He even did not say no on the question of these people. But he went right away back to God's will. How God had created Mary's life. He didn't start the discussion. And you can find in verse 4, "And he answered and said unto them, Have ye not read that he which made him at the beginning made him male and female? And said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh." You see, congregation, this is a core text of the scripture when it comes to marriage life. The third time you see this text. "Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." Jesus' absolute no. And congregation, the difference between the Lord, the approach of Jesus and the approach of the Pharisees is that the Pharisees actually started in all kind of different situations. They speak about every cause. And they took the starting point in the problems and in the needs. But Jesus, when he answered the question, doesn't go first to all the problems and the needs, but he goes first back to the intention of God in creation. And congregation, I'm very aware that I'm talking about topics in these sermons who can be difficult. Because marriage and divorce are difficult realities. And there are so many broken situations, also in marriage life. But also when it comes, when we have to find answers on questions, we have not to start in a broken situation. In starting there, we easily can come to understand people who get it worse. But then also we start at the wrong place, congregation. So in all these matters, we need to start like Jesus was starting in Scripture. And that's also in all the other needs. When it comes to sexuality, when we speak about homosexuality, when we speak about gender dysphoria, how often we start in the problems. And we start to find a way to how we can solve a broken situation. Instead of starting there where God is starting. And that's what Jesus did. And he makes it very clear. It's absolute no. That what God had join together, let no man put asunder. Marriage is a divine institution. And actually we find a beautiful explanation in Malachi chapter 2 verse 14 till 16. I will read it for you. Yet ye say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. And did not he make one? Yet had he the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one? That he might seek a godly seed. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away. That's God's answer on the force. God hateth putting away, says Malachi. But he also says, and this is remarkable, congregation. He said, why? But because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth. So on the day of our marriage, God is our witness. When we give our words, when we give our vows, God is witness. Therefore, God, he hateth putting away. That's the answer of Jesus. Absolute no. And then the response of the Pharisees. And they say unto him, and here you see, they're trying to catch Jesus. Why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? O congregation, by the answer given by Jesus, the Pharisees were exposed, and now they try to catch Jesus in the trap. So, Jesus, but what about Moses? And we all know Moses, that's the... the man of the law, the man of the five first books of the Bible, the man of the Torah. Yes, and they said, yes, Moses, he has, that's what they say. Why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? Our congregation, by the way, when you carefully read in Deuteronomy 24, where you can find the whole issue of this writing of divorcement, you cannot find that Paul or that Moses commands it. No, that was not the case. That's also not the truth, what the Pharisees are saying. No, Moses actually is dealing with an existent problem. The writings of divorcement were already present in that time. The Israelites in the time of when they were in Egypt, they were familiar with that. Also from Egypt. And only what Moses is doing in Deuteronomy 24 is to limit it. And implicit, he judged it negatively. But yes, it is true. On the other hand, you can't find it in the law of Moses. It speaks about a writing of divorcement. And why it happened? What was the reason that men were allowed to give, to send away? Now I have to be careful how I say this. That they had to give, and they're not allowed, I want to say this, that man had to give a writing of divorcement to the woman they sent away. It was only to protect the wives. What was that letter? What did that letter contain? In the letter contained a proof of purity and guiltless of the wife, that she was not an outlaw and suspected of adultery. That was the reason that they had to give that wife this letter, that a man could not play games in sending her away, and maybe when he regretted the decision, would take her away again. That was Moses was trying to protect the wives. And Jesus knew that. But Jesus replied on this question in a completely different way. And he saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. Lord Jesus, he pointed and he says, it's because of the hardness of your hearts. And when we listen carefully, he doesn't say it was because of the hardness of the heart of the people in the time of Moses. No, he directly speaks to the Pharisees. And he says, it's because of the hardness of your heart, Pharisees. The Pharisees, even as their fathers, they close their eyes for the word of God. How God has spoken about these matters from the very beginning. And so, the Lord Jesus first, he pointed back to the scriptures. And then, verse 9. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery. Congregation, it's clear. The Lord Jesus, he says, yes, this is what you can read. But on my authority, I am speaking, the Son of God, I say unto you, no, absolute no. Whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another one committeth adultery. Whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. Let me give an example. Maybe that's helpful. You can think about a couple, a family, man, wife, children. And the wife get bored in her marriage. Every day she has to take care for her household, for her children. Always busy with other ones. And she had no career for herself. And she feels that she has missed her youth. And then she decided to leave her husband and family, to divorce, leaving her husband and children behind in despair. Divorced. This wife are divorced. But what does this man, what he has to do now? Can he marry again? No. No. He has to stay alone. He cannot marry again. Although the divorce is officially according to the human law, for God, it still remains and is unbroken. And that's why Jesus says, whosoever shall put away his wife, and in this case his man, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery. This man is the person who is put away, the text says. And those who marry that man, in this case, commit adultery. As well that man as the wife he would like to marry. Is this fair? Congregation, this is why we need in these matters to have an attitude to be. And this is the Christian. The Christian is humble before God and before Christ and wants to follow the will of God, to do the will of Him. So this man is not allowed to marry again in this case. He had to wait until his wife will come back. He has to wait. And had to pray. And when she would return in repentance, he has to take her back as his bride. Why? Congregation, so is God. Isn't it? So is God. Oh, God is calling sinners. God is waiting for man who broke up with him in paradise. And when they return unto him, he will take them back as his bride. Jesus absolute no against divorcement. But I need to continue. Jesus conditional no. There's one exception. It says, except it be for fornication. And you only can find that in Matthew. There's only one exception. In the case of fornication, the Israelites could never give a letter of divorcement. No. When a man or a wife committed adultery, like we could read in Deuteronomy, they need to be killed. They need to die. It is clear how the Bible speaks about that. Deuteronomy 22, verse 22. If a man be found laying with a woman married to an husband, then they shall both of them die.
Leviticus 20, verse 10, and the man that committeth adultery with another's man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. And congregation, this is the biblical order, and I have already spoken a little bit, but this is the biblical principle that. And to understand this text, we need to have that clear that sexual intercourse means marriage before God. Deuteronomy 22:28. If a man find a damsel that is a virgin, which is not betrothed, and lay hold on her, and he lie with her, and they be found, then the man that lay with her shall give unto the damsel's father 50 shekels of silver, and she shall be his wife, because he hath humbled her, he may not put her away all his days. They are married. They are married. And you can see, congregation, sexual relationship is only a place, has only a place in marriage life. And when it comes to when the Lord Jesus speaks, except it be for fornication, then he speaks about the act, the deed of adultery. So when we have a sexual relationship with a person outside our marriage, not about a desire for it, but a real act. And let's now go back to that example I told you about that man and that wife, that family. That wife was gone away. And I told you that man is not allowed to marry again. But what happened with that wife? She got a job. A career, a nice job, but also a nice colleague. And they started to share the lives and bad. And how the Bible does judge this? This woman committed adultery at that very moment. And she has broken her marriage with her husband. No, she is not married with her colleague now. She can go to the, to try to get married. But she can never marry before God. No, she has broken her marriage. God was witness of the first marriage because of her adultery. And she is deserving a death penalty according to the scriptures. She's responsible for breaking her marriage. But what about her husband? In the first case, he was not free. But now, his marriage has been broken by the fornication of his wife. And now this man doesn't be the person from our text which says he or she which is put away. No. This man is allowed to marry again because his marriage was broken by the sin, by the adultery of his wife. This is what Jesus says. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery. And congregation, this is the only exemption you can find in the Bible. And these are very hard matters, I know. And it happens so often. But we need to, when we have to deal with it and we have to judge it, we have to go back
to the words of God and the words of Jesus like you can find here. And then, congregation, you see, and I mentioned already what you can find in Deuteronomy, that sexual intercourse means marriage life. Then you see, when a person dates with different people and they shed bed before marriage, then you really have a serious problem. We can find it when the Lord Jesus speaks to the Samaritan woman. See, he says, yes, it's true. You have the man you are living with is not your man. It's not your husband. It cannot be. It's a serious thing, congregation. And then you see, we need to be careful. We need to be. It's such a gift of God. But it is a gift only given in marriage life. And when we go beyond it, and we go our own ways, and how, oh congregation, how many problems there are in this, in this case, you know, in the case of marriage life. Yes, and sometimes let me also ask that question, and people will say, Pastor, but what about confession of guilt? In the case of a boy who had all different, was dating different girls, and he shared the bed with all of them, and then he comes to me and he says, I have to confess my sin, Pastor, but now I have found a wife and I would like to get married with her. Would you marry me? Is it possible that we say as a church, yes, but then you have to make confession of faith? Does that change the order of God? I don't think so. When in Deuteronomy 22, a man or a wife was taken in adultery, I don't read, you only have to confess your sins and then you can get rid of the penalty of death. This is my personal, I know there are other opinions, but in my practice, in my being a minister, I had a situation and I have spoken to that person. I can't give you the blessing of on behalf of God, because I don't know, and I actually think that God cannot bless it. Is it hard? It is. Also for me. But then you see, congregation, these matters are serious. We can't play games with sexuality. We can't. And so Jesus did not. But then the disciples. Jesus is actually done with the Pharisees. He has answered the question. He doesn't start a discussion. He's done with them. But then the disciples, they are thinking about what Jesus was speaking, and they say unto him, if the case of the man be so with his wife, it's not good to marry. They think about those poor wives who have so many problems in their marriage life, who actually are often lonely, and they see people living together without a healthy marriage life, spouses who are unhappy, not receiving love, marriages with... Today, people would say, and come to conclude, you can better stop it. You can better stop it. And the disciples, they understood very well what Jesus has said, and then they came for themselves to the conclusion. But if you can never divorce, and if you can never finish such a marriage, it would be better never to marry. And then Jesus answered them another answer, a remarkable answer. But he said unto them, all man cannot receive the saying, save they to whom it is given. Congregation, what does that mean when he says, all man cannot receive this saying, save they to whom it is given? The word receive means here to accept it, to give it a place in your life, to accept it. All men cannot accept this saying. Save they to whom it is given. It is given by Christ himself. It is given by God himself. Congregation, the Lord Jesus says, by nature we don't take this. We don't accept it. We want to do what we want to do. What did Jesus mean when he starts to speak about this? Well, then he gives us three different examples about eunuchs. And he mentioned three different types of eunuchs. And eunuchs were men who were unable for marriage life. And they were paralyzed, you can say. That are eunuchs. And Jesus, he speaks about three different types. He speaks about those who are born in that way. And sometimes it happened. Also today, there are men and even women who are not able to have a sexual life because they are paralyzed actually. When this is the case, I ask these questions also to couples, because it's important to speak about that. You cannot wait until you are married and then you tell your wife or to tell your husband about your problems, your bodily problems. So this is what Jesus is speaking about. Eunuchs, which were so born from their mother's womb. And then he says, and there are some eunuchs, which were be made eunuchs of man. And that was also that happens in the time. They paralyzed themselves, being a eunuch. Because often to have a position in the king's harem. And according to the Jewish law, the first who were born as a eunuch were allowed to marry. But the second who paralyzed themselves, they were not. So those two types, the Jewish people knew already. But Jesus now speaks about a third category. And then he continues. And he said, and there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdoms of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. What does Jesus mean, congregation? Eunuchs for the case of the kingdom of God. Then he speaks about those men, those women in marriage life who have such a difficulty in their marriage life, who are not satisfied. They were able to have a full marriage life, and therefore that was the reason that they got married. But unexpectedly, due to the life of the spouse, a married person has to live like a eunuch, without a full, satisfied marriage life. And congregation, that is hard. That's hard. When in the marriage bond there is no that communion, not that union, that's a heavy, heavy cross each and every day again. And then the question is, in such a case, would it not be allowed to give such a writing of divorcement?
And for the Jewish rabbis, it was not a problem. But Jesus says, no, for the kingdom's sake. What does he mean? He means in the kingdom of Christ are other rules than in the world. What is Jesus' answer? He says, they have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. It means they bear the cross in following Christ. O congregation, when we say to following Christ, that can require to say no to my flesh. And who's able to do that? Who's able to do that? Nobody. Nobody. It's Jesus says, save they to whom it is given. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. That's a gift of Christ. And he will give it to his church. He will give his presence. He will give his power. He will give his comfort. He will give his strength. Or the world around me and my own flesh will say, take your freedom. But Christ say, make yourself a eunuch for the kingdom of heaven's sake. No, don't get divorced. O congregation, and this is, I started that, and I have mentioned that the last couple of weeks. The first purpose of marriage life is not to have a happy marriage life. Although that's one of the purposes also. But it is to show this world the union between Christ and his church. And also when we have to make ourselves eunuchs because of all the needs, and then we have in an unhappy marriage life. But also in a happy marriage life we have to show that image. But also when we are single, the purpose of our life is to show the image of Christ in our lives. Also when we are alone because of we are a widow or a widower. That's also not easy, congregation. Don't forget that. Yes, people who have difficulties in their marriage, that's not easy. But don't forget, there are people who are single, who are divorced because their man or their wife left them. There are people who never came to marriage life. That's sometimes so hard and painful too. But the first purpose of our lives is to show the reality of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of Christ in this world. And so congregation, when we are struggling with homosexual feelings, or struggling with transgender feelings, it's actually the same. We cannot give in. We cannot go against Scripture. And this is what Jesus says. In all these cases, who have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. Yeah, you can also speak about people who didn't get married because they want to serve God. And I know you need to be careful with that. But there are those who want to serve God in mission work. And that's the reason they never got married. They took the cross. People who made themselves eunuchs with only one desire, to follow Christ in their lives. And congregation, what I mentioned before, that's not easy thing. That's not easy.
No, there's a cross, a heavy cross. But when Jesus says this for the kingdom's sake, then there is one desire, then is that that's the root, you know? Because of Christ's sake, that his name would not be dishonored because of me. I will bear my cross, Lord, and I will pour out my heart before thee in these hard ways. And sometimes God calls us different, these difficult ways. And people will ask, Pastor, why? Why? And then I have to say, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know why you have to suffer. But this is what I know. Hebrews 12, I have preached about it. It is the fatherly love for his church, also to chasten his children, and sometimes in this way. To make you an example, to make you an image of the Lord Jesus Christ in this world. To learn that one marriage with the Lord Jesus Christ, that's also a marriage life, can never be broken. Will never be broken. Even not by all my sin. No, Christ shall never break, shall never divorce from his bride, never. Although his bride deserves, isn't it? Oh, when you, congregation, when I have to preach about these matters, then, yeah, we have to put our hands in our own bosom, isn't it? And then you see the Lord Jesus, he speaks about it, hey? Matthew 5:28, but I say unto you, that whosoever looketh unto a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Or we can never just heart about people, isn't it? And what about spiritual adultery? To lean and to rest and to trust in myself instead of on Christ. Oh, congregation, when we speak about all these matters of the seventh commandment, it's also a mirror. I need to deal with these matters, and I think it's necessary to be clear from the scriptures. But it is a preaching for each and every one of us, and to bring us back on our knees, and to watch for our hearts. Oh, and we have not the power in ourselves. And therefore, oh dear congregation, you need Christ. You need Jesus in your life. And only hiding in him can save us. Not my decisions, not my power. And so we are called. When we have a happy marriage life, when we are not married, or when we have difficult marriage life, to follow him, to go after him. That means he goes before us. Amen. Psalter 69, stanzas 2 and 7. Psalter 69, verses 2 and 7. Let's pray. We thank thee, Lord, that thou hast given us a clear instruction in Scripture how to deal with these difficult matters. And we pray, Lord, that we all might have that deep longing to live according to thy will and to follow thy given order, to bow under thy will. And thou knowest, Lord, by nature we are so proud and against it, and we are always doing our own will. But broken sinners, humble to the dust, who can't trust their own hearts anymore, who discover their heart filled with adultery, they only can go after thee, O Lord. And therefore, O, we pray that also this sermon, that it might be for the well-being of the congregation, and that we might keep an eye on one another, Lord, in our needs and in our blessings. O Lord, fill our hearts with thy love. And that we might carry each other burdens. Lord, forgive our shortcomings also from this sermon. Be with us in the furtherance of this week. Lord, when the stewardship board will meet, bless their labors. When we will have the serious meeting, O grant us thy presence. Lord, when we have to travel this week, give us traveling mercies. Forgive all our sins. And remember us for Jesus' sake, we pray. Amen. In closing, we will sing Psalter 125. Psalter 125. Stanzas 1 till 4.
Thank you.
the congregation go in peace, lift up your hearts and receive the blessing of our Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.